ABC Radio Australia.
An artist is paying tribute to Nauru and other parts of the Pacific in a major exhibition at the Museum of Contemporary Art Australia in Sydney. In A World Undone, Nicholas Mangan explores Australia's place in the Pacific region. He tells Dubravka Volodare that his work suggests new perspectives on pressing issues, such as the impact of mining on natural resources and climate change.
This iteration at the Museum of Contemporary Art consists of two coffee tables and a rock on a wooden crate. These coffee tables are made from coral limestone, and they were brought over as large pinnacle rocks, symbols of prosperity, and they adorned the entry court on the high-rise tower on 80 Collins Street in Melbourne. And I knew nothing about Nauru and came across these pinnacles, and they looked very much out of place and somewhat somber. And I soon learned that Nauru had sort of lost that building due to financial bankruptcy. And not long after that, the pinnacles were taken away. And I was really interested to know where these pinnacles had gone. I learned that they'd been taken to the backyard of Helen Bogdan, who was the spokesperson for Nauru House, and had also been involved with helping the Nauruans sue the Australian government for damages that had ensued under Australia's strip mining of Nauru for phosphate. Around the same time, I was also doing some other more extensive research into the history of Nauru and learnt that at that time, the then President Bernard Dowiyogo was quoted by an American journalist as saying that he planned to take the remaining pinnacles that were left on Nauru once all the fertilizer had been gouged out and spread all over the kind of British Empire. He planned to turn those pinnacles into ancient coral coffee tables to be sold on the US market. And I'm not sure if this was a tongue-in-cheek story or not, but I thought it was an interesting way to sort of enter into this particular history of Nauru and sort of produce a monument to Nauru itself. And these coffee tables kind of very much echo the kind of strip mining or flattening of the Nauruan island and its kind of remaining barren-like lunar landscape. And you can see on the top of these tables, you can see this kind of very beautiful and intricate coral inlay that is mixed in with this limestone. So that the works themselves sort of became a way to kind of speak to that particular history of Nauru.
And when we come into that room, they have quite a prominent place in that space. When we look to our left there, we can also see references to that history, can't we?
Well, yes, there's on the wall a framed piece, which is just a singular stamp, which is a kind of a Nauruan stamp that kind of commemorates the moon landing. And I guess I was also interested to go to Nauru because on the website at that time, it was Nauru was promoting tourism, saying come and visit the lunar-like landscape. And I thought that's kind of a very dark form of tourism, given that it's a kind of was a very barren and arid and hot landscape with not much more than just these large coral pinnacles that had sort of forced the Nauruans to the very edge of their island. And this particular stamp is somebody else, as one of the curators of the exhibition, Annika Jasper, observed, is that it's perhaps standing on, it's the perspective you see is the edge of the moon, but it's viewing back to Earth, perhaps looking directly at Nauru in the Pacific. And I just thought that was a really poignant stamp because I know that the Nauruans were very much interested in stamp collection, but it was also important to me because I went to Nauru myself and took up this invitation to visit the lunar-like landscape, but mainly to send back a message to Australia of the devastation that had been caused under Australia's colonial occupation.
That was my next question. You are looking at Australia's place in the Pacific through this exhibit. Why do you think that's important?
I think it's really important because I guess, like, I think Australia needs to understand its history and what it's done and what its involvement has been in other, in our so-called neighbouring islands. I mean, this continues today through various other forms of, like, soft power and whatnot, but there was a particular, and I guess it continues through mining. It's not only that we're mining ourselves, but we're also taking that extractive behaviour and have taken that extractive behaviour to other places and kind of forced that on to particular countries or islands. And I think it's really important that that history is told and is kept in the public imagination, because I think we're entering into a new era at the moment with new forms of kind of so-called green energy, and these behaviours are likely to kind of double down.
So we have that theme of climate change in the Great Barrier Reef as well. And if we go to the other side of the exhibition, we can see reference to that, can't we?
It's interesting because in my projects or through my investigations, I started deeper in the Pacific in Nauru and then moved over to Bougainville for the Bougainville Civil War that was centred around the Panguna copper mine, and only just recently I've come back to Australia to sort of investigate this kind of issue of mass bleaching and the coral mortality rates that are happening, which is devastating both to the reefs, but also it's sort of somewhat of a, like a metaphor for what's going to happen to the humans in terms of like not being able to withstand the increased temperatures that are expected to come. The barrier itself is kind of, it's interesting as a metaphor, as this thing of protection, but it also is this thing of fragility. It was Captain Cook's colonial vessel, the Endeavour, was ensnared on it, and a piece of coral got wedged in its hull, apparently. And so I guess I'm just interested in this kind of playing around this notion of the barrier and this idea of protection, or how coral is somehow seems to capture the human imagination, and also elicits a sense of kind of empathy. Maybe it's because coral is both plant, animal and mineral. There is this kind of connection to the human.
And that was artist, educator Nicholas Mangan talking there to Dubravka Volodare.